that's the music. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. I'm very happy because Dr. Patty Britton and Dr. Robert Dunlap are returning to this program. Their last time here was August 29th. These two are great partners in life, as well as a really top-notch professional team, the founders of Sex Coach University, and we're going to learn lots more about them. I've known Patty and Robert for years, and now I just don't get to see them as often as I'd like. We used to all live in Los Angeles. They still do. I'm now in Seattle, but at least I get to see you at conferences. With any luck. But you're traveling a lot, doing so many things. Welcome to the program, Patty and Robert, and thank you for returning.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure and so much fun. And, you know, it's such an honor to be asked back. I really want to say that. And I'm sure Robert can add his views on that, too.
Absolutely. You're one of the best, Diana. We adore you.
Well, thank you. This is really such mutual admiration. I appreciate that, Patty and Robert. I think the most recent thing that happened is that today, October the 2nd, 2012, ABCnews.com featured Robert Dunlap in a story that also talked about 50 Shades of Grey and BDSM and Robert's film Beyond Vanilla, where he interviewed hundreds of fetishes. But tell us a little bit more about what happened with the ABC News, Robert, ABCnews.com, and sort of the results already from just being up on this website, which is seen by so many.
Yeah, it's really an amazing story because it's so multi-layered, like most things in life. A lot of this curiosity came stemming from a big situation that's going on in Missouri, where people are now afraid to reveal certain consensual, I'm going to add, sexual practices that might be construed as the victimization of one participant or the other. And they're looking at ways to, again, go into the bedrooms of people where the government doesn't belong and dictate what type of behaviors people have consensually. And from all of the research and different things, it's a very rare situation that people who are practitioners in one kind of form of BDSM or another actually hurt or do some kind of physical harm to the other person. It's very, very rare. I mean, so what they're doing is they're taking out of context one group of people who are doing an extreme type of practice and then blaming the entire population for being in that same bag, so to speak. It's really scary.
Well, it is scary. BDSM, acronym for bondage and discipline, dominance and submission, sadism and masochism. Some of you out there listening may not have read 50 Shades of Grey. Actually, it's a trilogy. I happen to have read all three books, and lots of other people have. I think it's sold millions
30,
and millions.
32 million as of today.
32 million as of today. And apparently 5 million was offered for the movie rights. So that's in the works.
Yes, which they've already begun casting. And there's been a lot of information about that in the Hollywood Reporter, as well as the Hollywood Variety, the trade papers for motion picture production. And supposedly, this could, in fact, be even larger. If you can imagine, than what they were doing with Hunger Games, because of the enormous amount of readership and fanship, so to speak, of the book or books.
Yes, and so what's I've of course not privy to the Hollywood Reporter anymore. What's the gist of what they're saying about the casting?
Well, about the casting, of course, everything is kept under wraps, and what they'll do is they will absolutely make a huge publicity stunt out of when they actually do the casting. In fact, it kind of harkens back for all of those cinephiles out there and, you know, real cinema buffs. There was just an enormous amount of excitement when they finally cast Clark Gable as Rhett Butler in Gone with the Wind.
We're going back a few years.
Of course, but that's how big this is being predicted to be.
Wow, that's impressive.
Gone with the Wind was before our time as well. I'm only making it as a reference because that's what people are referring to.
No, but, you know, I remember as a teenager reading the book and just, I was mesmerized. It was so romantic and so historical and so wonderful. Now, 50 Shades, apparently they're estimating that a book is sold every 1 second in the United States and that it's actually causing a baby boom. A lot of babies are now going to be born in February, which means a lot of these women were buying the books and getting inspired as of May when the book first came out.
Yes, yes. Now, the other side effect thing about it that is really interesting, because, you know, I'm running Sex Coach University.
Yes.
I'm getting so many people who are now interested in becoming involved in sex coaching because of this phenomena as well. Because people start talking more and more and dialoguing with one another about sex. And one of the other really amazing things, I literally have now clients who just want me to come and kind of guide them with this direction of how would we kind of get involved in doing a sex scene? How could we do a little bit of BDSM? Are there any kind of strange things that can happen if I'm flogged? You know, what is that all about? Or what if we just wanted to handcuff each other or tie each other up? There's something exciting about being, you know, bound, even if it's handcuffed to the edge of the bed.
So yes.
It's really amazing.
You have somebody who's on your faculty, I guess, at Sex Coach University.
Yes.
And by the way, listeners, this was up on the website in describing the show last August 29th, but let me give it to you again. It's sexcoachu.com. So you apparently have Emily Pryor.
Yes.
And she is a BDSM kink fetish teacher with you all. And she's also director of Los Angeles-based Center for Positive Sexuality. Now she complains that that this book is, or this trilogy of books, is really gives some misinformation. Can you elaborate on that, either of you?
I'll let Patty take. She hasn't been able to say too much yet.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get you into this a little more, Patty, and maybe starting right now.
Well, I think that what is so important in understanding the real world of BDSM and what the notion of erotic power exchange is based on is about, as Robert's been saying over and over again, it's adults engaging in behaviors that are consent-based or consensual. And, you know, one of the critiques of the trilogy and one of the, I think, misinterpretations of BDSM as a whole is that she is a victim. He's a predator. He's taking advantage of her naivete and her willingness. And, you know, that's just so not a part of what we look at in the BDSM community or the communities of self-expression and sexuality. what BDSM really is about is a lot of things, but there are some themes that run through it in an accurate way that include sensory play, exploring the senses, the sensations, escalating and alternating between maybe a tingling feeling, maybe a stinging or a thuddy feeling, using different devices like floggers and things like paddles, or using something that then takes someone from that pain-pleasure continuum from what is uncomfortable and maybe an unpleasant sensation to then taking a hand with soft silk and rubbing it on the place that was just stingily flogged or caned or whipped. Again, with consent. And I know that one thing I think Robert would happily share with you is that we take our grad students and our Sex Coach U students when we do our sensitivity training. Ooh, what we talked about on our last show, our SAR experience. We take them on a field trip to a BDSM play club, a public play space, it's called. And we've done that in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands. We've done that here in Los Angeles. We will more than likely be doing that in Eastern Europe next spring when we have our double SAR in Prague, the Czech Republic, and then again in Warsaw, Poland. And what was so interesting was to have Robert, who is always ready to be a demonstration subject, allow
you,
one of
Robert.
Our... He's just so selfless. Allow one of our teachers, who is a
dominatrix.
What he does. She's a dominatrix and really, really schooled and skilled. And she did a demo on Robert's bare skin on his back,
mm-hmm.
using a more stingy and thuddy flogging device, which was really kind of like holding something that was more heavy with pieces of leather that would go thud, thud on him. And then she has another one, her toy, that is all rabbit skin. The fur would just soothe the skin that had been made red from this really high-intensity touch of this device. So, you know, BDSM is something that escalates sensation. It's also about erotic power. It's about role play, psychological role play. And it's really an alternative for many people to an authentic sexual experience. It does build arousal, but what it builds is an authentic excitement that doesn't necessarily lead to what we think of as sex. It's actually for many people a lifestyle and a way of relating and a way of releasing tension, releasing energy, building tension, building energy, and having intimacy. That's the really, I think, most misunderstood part. Don't you agree, Robert?
Yes, absolutely. And the other thing is, just to get a little more in-depth about that, it's a very erotic exchange. There's something that takes place as well, that even though it's not sexual, it is erotic, and there's something about that feeling, about that play. And it can be a very loving, as well, exchange without having sex.
As meaning without having intercourse.
Correct.
Or even having genital touch.
Or yes. Even having genital touch, yes.
Exactly.
Or kissing, or fondling.
Yeah.
It's different, and you know, so much of it is done on what we think of as non-sexually oriented parts of the human body. You know, often flogging and whipping and these kinds of heavy, intense pain-inducing measures are done on the shoulders and upper back and or on the buttocks. And it doesn't mean that someone has to be naked at all. You know, they can be half-clothed and sometimes even through clothing, depending on whether maybe there's a fetishistic approach to even wearing a certain kind of clothing, like leather or like latex, for example.
Yes. The ABCnews.com also pointed out that this trilogy, 50 Shades, may be bringing sexy back, and that a lot of hotels, like the Diva Hotel in San Francisco, locally here in Seattle, the Max Hotel, are jumping on board with sort of a 50 Shades package. It was kind of shocking. It also pointed out that one of these hotels, I don't think it was one of those, have started to replace 50 Shade book for the Bibles. That could offend some people, I get think. But,
wow.
Yeah. But people are legitimately curious, and it seems to me if they go to a hotel and they've got a little package deal, and I know the diva lady said, well, we've got this fancy box, and inside the box, well, she wasn't going to reveal that, the joy box, but I bet there are some sex toys or handcuffs or something that would be a beginning for couples. But a lot of couples need some basics, because most couples are not going to go extreme like Christian and Anastasia in the fiction.
What's really funny too, Diana, is I wonder how many people are going to like Home Depot or Lowe's and buying, you know, gaffer's tape and rope. I wonder how much that's gone up.
What do you think?
Definitely.
Yeah,
oh, definitely.
But then you got to learn how to tie those knots.
Hopefully.
Well, that's part of it, but some people, that's how they have the fun of just, you know, learning together. I think, and that's also one of the things about this for mainstream, what it allows them to do is just explore something a little, and if they want to learn how to do it better, then they seek more information. And there certainly is a lot of it out there.
There's a lot of it out there, and a lot of they can get some good information from you and by going to sexcoachyou.com. The thing, of course, I think that is one of the best things is that BDSM play encourages negotiation, encourages communication. And so often when I see a couple, when they come in with a sex problem, it's really a communication problem. And so we have to back up a little bit and talk about how they're communicating or not communicating.
Yes, yes. And this is just another way for them to refocus what their desires are, as well as this helps just for even plain vanilla. It really does, and I see that even with the clientele that I have.
Yeah, we also know that when couples are in long-term relationships, they get stale, and we also know that there's a biological feature to our neurochemistry. And in that neurochemistry, what seems to really go down is our dopamine response levels. And dopamine is really the hormone of excitement. And what I love about this is that even though there are many people who are poo-pooing it or who are saying, oh, well, we don't want to tie somebody up or be handcuffed or be beaten or whipped, what it's doing is it's introducing the concept of trying something new, a variety of experimentation in America's bedrooms and beyond America. This is a global phenomenon.
Yeah.
But I see so much that anything we know from the literature that we all read, that one of the antidotes for a sagging or flagging libido or interest in sex within a partnership or lack of sex within a partnership is using variety to reboot and reboost the dopamine response. The dopamine receptors really respond to things like surprise, something new and fresh, and even something scary. And I think that's really one of the gifts of this, is that it's a little scary. And you know, Robert and I both have introduced this to several of our couples clients that we individually work with. And at first the response is like, what? You want me to read that? Oh, what isn't that about? And then they come back and maybe they've read a little bit of it and you say, well, what did you think? Well, I don't know. I had a client say, it's kind of weird and it's kind of scary, but there was a smile on her face that I hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
Before there was a sense of boredom. So there's spillover effect as well, I think, from introducing something that is built on the premises of BDSM that maybe pushes somebody to a not comfort zone for themselves where they're going to get a little scared, and that's going to run some of that chemistry, the adrenaline, for example, the, you know, epinephrine, all the good stuff that we get when we're in lust, but it's really hard to keep when we're in love.
Really hard to keep, and dopamine is probably at the top of that list. And we do know, as you've already outlined, Patty, that dopamine needs novelty. in order to be produced by the brain. And certainly,
yes,
engaging in some of these BDSM practices, it counts as novelty. It's for most couples. And I think before this program ends, we're going to discuss the movie that came out in August, Hope Springs, with Meryl Streep and Tommy Lee Jones, because they're a pretty good example of a couple in their 60s, married 31 years, who have fallen into a rut. But let's keep that conversation till and that review of that movie, because it does illustrate very well, of course, some of this, but for an older couple who've been married 30-plus years. But it sounds like you were talking about some younger couples that you were working with.
Yes, my one of the couples that I'm working with are literally in their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so exciting for them, because what she did the other day that became a very visual turn-on was that she came out of and into the bedroom wearing this very neat little kind of halter top. And it was a very visual, instant turn-on for him, as well as for her, because she became the exhibitionist, and he was able to become the voyeur.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, men are so visual. Well, women are too, but men especially, we think. And so just, you know, dressing up for sex can do so much, whether you're BDSM or vanilla. Just dressing up and having some fun and maybe doing a striptease. And, right? Doesn't that usually add on quite a lot?
Yes.
Dressing up or taking it off. We have a wonderful couple that we worked with who are actually in their 60s and 70s. And this is not about BDSM, but it's about dress up and changing it. And the hilarious aspect of what we were able to do in a session that we actually use in our trainings at Sex Coach U and in my other trainings through my ISSR.com site is we showed them go through this amazing process of communication on camera, where what they finally were able to figure out is that she actually goes to bed naked. So for her, she needs to put something on to signal him. But I have other clients who actually need to take something off. You know, it's the, there's a client of mine has this hilarious expression he uses. He says, it's the granny panty phenomenon.
Like,
you know, getting his wife to put on something that might be a high-cut French brief with black lace is really going against the grain, because she's into the granny panty phenomenon. I think you could have an image of that. It's not exactly sexy.
It's not so, exactly.
No. So getting people to take things off, but also put things on in bed, is also a part of the couple phenomenon of sexlessness, which we'll talk about when we talk about Hope Springs, because sometimes it's just getting into bad habits. And that's why I love this phenomenon of what's going on around this erotica, because it's giving people permission, which is such a fundamental part of all sex coaching and sex therapy, to give people permission to try something new, giving them permission to get out of the rut they're in, giving them permission to find their erotic side and spark and to be able to explore that.
Yeah, permission is huge. I've been a sex therapist for 30 years, and that's just the centerpiece of so much of the work I do with couples. ABCnews.com described some of this for women being the inner goddess revolution, and giving permission to your inner goddess to express herself. That is very powerful. And if you can conjure up an inner goddess and act like an inner like a goddess, then maybe your man will step up to the plate and worship you. And then you got something going.
Exactly. And one of our dear friends, whom you know, is Dr. Linda Savage in California. and her website is goddesstherapy.com.
Mm-hmm.
Linda takes the inner goddess to another extreme in a good way and teaches actually from all of the original goddess teachings, and is someone who's traveled the world exploring some of the iconography, some of the sacred sites, and her book, Reclaiming Goddess Sexuality, is such an important book for couples to have because it's really about honoring ourselves and each other and finding the sacred in everything sexual. And so I think that this idea of the inner goddess can also be looked at in terms of empowerment of women and claiming our eroticism, but also it evokes another whole pathway for expressing our sexuality, which for some people is a far more interesting alternative than that kind of kinky BDSM dark edgy side.
I agree with you, Patty. Would you mind giving her website one more time, because I certainly would like to check it out.
Sure. It's Dr. Linda Savage, and mm-hmm. her website is goddesstherapy.com.
Okay. Goddesstherapy.com. All right.
She's also faculty at Sex Coach U. We have an advanced track,
yeah.
and we have some of the biggest names in the world who are our teachers, who are offering intensive master courses for our students who are qualified to take that advanced level. So anyone who's interested in specialty training, we have that at Track 3, our advanced level at sexcoachu.com. Very exciting, really some amazing courses.
Well, you two are so amazing and so entrepreneurial, and I heard that you just brought on board as a faculty member our mutual friend and author extraordinaire and woman extraordinaire, and that's Lou Padgett.
Absolutely. We're so thrilled to have Lou on board.
And I've had Lou on the show many times, and she'll add a lot. You're really expanding Sex Coach U, and we're coming up to the break. I can see that. It's going to be world renowned. It's already very well known, but I predict only good things for the two of you with all of your projects, and the Sex Coach U is especially exciting.
Thank you. Well, after the break, we'll talk about how to get you involved.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Why not?
Well, maybe we'll do that off the air. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I wasn't even hinting around for that. Well, after the break.
Very exciting.
Thank you. I really would like, last time we were going to talk about Hope Springs and we didn't get to it, so let's talk about Hope Springs when we get back from the break, and then we can go on to other things beyond that too. Does that sound good for you and for both of you?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Stay with us. We'll be right back, everybody. Here we are again. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. And I'm having a lot of fun because I'm here with my good friends and colleagues, Dr. Patty Britton and Dr. Robert Dunlap. And actually, on your websites, because we've mentioned two, but there's even drpattybritton.com.
Yes.
Is that right? You do a lot of film reviews, and I know you incorporate them into your teachings. And you even did, we want to talk about Hope Springs, but you even did a field trip on your last SAR in Las Vegas?
Yes, we did. We run a California state-approved program that trains people in the profession of sex coaching, using some of the methodologies, technologies, and content from Sex Coach U. And we did a 10-day intensive in 116 degrees, I will add, in August in Las Vegas.
Of course, you were inside, I'm sure.
Yes and no. And we didn't have AC in one of the teaching rooms, so it was a bit of a challenge. We did some really fast dancing to get into an alternative place. But yes, we actually, you know, it's interesting, having taught Sex and Cinema, which is the name of the course I've taught at the graduate school level in psychology for quite a few years, and a teleseminar, What's so interesting is looking at film or movies from a clinical perspective. When you look at the client as a character or the characters as potential clients, what you get is you get to bring the real world into the screen, and you get to take from the big screen how you might use what you're experiencing, or as a trainer or a teacher, how you might get your students to look at movies from a different lens, pun intended. And so we actually, ironically, there we were in Las Vegas. We were teaching sex coaching, and it was 100 hours of teaching. It's a lot. That's the mainstay of that program, is the in-person intensive. And lo and behold, in the middle of that 10 days, what opens but Hope Springs as a movie? And, of course, it was really nicely air-conditioned, so we all hauled out in the van and went to the movies one evening as our assignment, and then we got to use it and refer to it as a case for the remainder of the training. It was so perfect that this happened to be the week it was released, because it really is so much about what is it that we do with people who are suffering from having, well, you know, it's kind of like falling off the track, isn't it? When a couple who's been married over 30 years, and by the way, we get couples who haven't touched in over 5 to 7 years, who've been married a very short time only. I have couples in their 20s who are sexless all the way into their 70s and even an 80-year-old. But this phenomenon of being sexless is really about falling off the track and stopping being sexual as a couple. And usually that also means they stop touching. And I thought Hope Springs, even though it was kind of painful for me as a clinician to watch it was really like work, I think it really was amazing to show how just the pathos. I really mean that word. There's a pathos when a couple loses that kind of intimate connection and they stop being a couple, but they become roommates or they become mechanical servants to each other, and they get obsessed and almost taken away in their own lives as parallel lines that never intersect. And there was such a sadness about it. And it was very beautiful to see Meryl Streep and Tommy Lee Jones, who are amazing actors. They could give the news, and it would be chilling or dramatic.
Yes.
But, you know, Meryl Streep's portrayal of this wife who one day kind of wakes up and goes, what the hell is going on? I don't have a husband. I have a child. I have someone I have to be a servant to. I'm his maid. I'm his cook. And I'm disconnected, and I'm hungry, and I'm lonely. And I think it's that sense of that state of loneliness in a relationship that really helps somebody reach the edge where they say, I've got to do something about it.
Well, that's the thing that really impressed me about the film, is that it actually normalizes what our profession does.
Yeah.
It gives people permission to want to seek out help. And who would they go to? They would go to someone like us who could give them that kind of guidance just to get their life back together. One of the amazing things about what it is that you do, Diana, as well as Patty, and I'm beginning to do more of myself, is when we work with these clients, it not only changes what they're doing sexually, but it changes what they do with their life.
Mm.
It's life-changing. And I find sometimes that I shift from being sexual in nature with them to being life in nature with them, giving them a direction. Hey, you could lose a little bit of weight. That would really make you feel more attractive. Or, you know what? It's okay that you're going bald. You know, you're still a very sexy, attractive man to other women. So those kinds of things, it's another way of giving them guidance. And that's what this movie also, you know, really brings to the forefront. I've had people say, boy, I'd love to do what Steve Carell did in that movie. That would be such a great thing for me to have as a life dream.
Yeah, because he played the sex therapist, even though I will make a confession, I just can't look at him as a serious actor. He's just not a serious actor.
I know, but I think he did a very good job
in
this dramatic role. He showed so much compassion.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. And mm-hmm. the idealization of, you know, you go away to Maine for a week and you live in a little B&B and then you go see the doc a few hours a day and presto, everything's fine. There's truth and not truth in it, and that's part of what I want to say about it, is that I do think that breaking out of the mold, breaking out of the rut, breaking out of the same stuff every day, like what you do in your habitual life at home, when you come home at 5:29, you make your cocktail at 6:15, you serve the chicken at the same table, at 7:30 you look at the same shows on TV, that's the kind of couple they were. And that sterility, that stuckness, that suffocation, that both of them really were suffering through, I think came through beautifully. And I do think there's wisdom in going away. That's why sometimes we offer couples intensives, and we do a lot of, once every few years, we actually do cruise ship seminars, believe it or not. And those are amazing because people sign up just to get away and, like, change their sex lives and their relationships by getting away from daily boredom and coming on board a ship where they can really make those changes.
And where they can go to the stateroom on the ship and do their homework, home assignments.
Of course they can. We send them home for their home assignments, you know, in between the 900 meals they have every day. But I think that it's also unrealistic to expect that in 5 days. For most people, going to see a sex therapist a la the Steve Carell model is really going to get at the deep underlying issues. And I think they did a good job at really saying that what I love about being a sex coach and a master sex coach and through Sex Coach U training other people to do this profession is that we get to identify the boundaries of the picture frame. And we work with a lot within that picture frame. But sometimes outside that frame, people really need intensive psychotherapy or social work or rehab of whatever variety. And I think that there was a bit of an idealizing of, you know, go see the guy and you're going to go to a bar and you're going to pretend you're somebody else and you're going to get a little tipsy and order chocolate dipped cherries and give a great blowjob for the first time in your life and have your first orgasm and get over the 19 years of rage because of the affair you never healed from. All that doesn't really get resolved in 5 days. But what I loved is that they normalized that there are people like us out there who really can begin to open up that process.
I typically see a couple, and the most common presenting problem is low sexual desire, usually on the part of the woman, among my couples over 50 anyway, and I have quite a few of them. I see them on an average of about 6 months. Some of them, and this is usually every 2 weeks, some of them stay longer than 6 months, I said an average, some a little less. But we do psychotherapy, we do sex therapy, well, it's cognitive behavioral therapy. Yeah. I give them things to read, I really believe in bibliotherapy. I give them things to watch because we're all on the same page about this, we can learn so much visually. So the Sinclair Institute sex ed videos that I've done, the most recent being Great Sex for a Lifetime. And, Patty, I know you've done sex ed, well, now DVDs, we're used to saying videos.
Exactly.
But I really appreciate that I can work with a couple, and I just, sometimes I pinch myself. I feel so privileged to be doing this work.
Yeah, I agree.
And with age comes, I think, more experience and more facility to do it well, more confidence. And I think a lot of my clients love it that I'm a cheerleader for good sex. That's something else I feel very grateful for in my personal life. I get to practice what I preach.
Exactly.
And it just, so it comes across that I'm really authentically promoting good sex. And I have seen transformations in couples. It is wonderful to see it. And when they start being affectionate with each other, when they start touching, I mean, that was Meryl Streep's huge problem, one of her huge problems. She her inattentive husband just had forgotten to kiss her or touch her in any way, yes. shape, or form. So when couples can be sexual again, it's so bonding, and it helps them be closer and communicate better, but it's a positive feedback loop, isn't it?
Yes. You have to sometimes remind people of where they were. He forgot how to be loving and the person that was affectionate. He forgot.
Mm-hmm. He got into his ruts.
Yeah.
In Arnold's case, played by Tommy Lee Jones,
yes.
he was an accountant, and he fell asleep every night to golf tips on television. And he had the same breakfast that his wife, Kay, Meryl Streep's character, same fried egg, same piece of bacon.
Yes.
Same old, same old. And, you know, that's just paralyzing, that kind of sameness and stasis.
Well, it's a far cry from the dopamine-evoking surprise element of BDSM that we talked about earlier. You know, these are people who are really living in a almost like, you know, almost set cement. And I do see a lot of that when I have couples come to me who are complaining about the lack of sex and touch in their relationship, some of whom think that we have the power to wave a magic wand. And really what we have the power to do is to help them heal themselves. And
absolutely.
So, you know, sometimes it does take a threat, which he intuited in the movie that she was on the verge of leaving him, and somehow he sensed it, which
mm-hmm.
is interesting because he was so not a sensing, intuitive man. At least he had become so far away from that.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that he got it, and I love that they reached that pinnacle, and sometimes couples do need to, it's kind of like an AA or in any other form of addiction, sometimes people need to reach bottom. They need to hit that point of, it's either going to be this or I'm out of here. And it had a beautiful message. And I think that the other aspect of what I liked about it is that I think Robert and I, in our using what we teach as sexologists, using our holistic approach to sexual healing and not a medicalized, pathologizing way, we're able to help people look at all the dynamics of being a sexual human. And we work with energetics, we work with spirit, we work with the mind and the body connection. And I love the ritual aspect of what they brought in, even though I didn't care for the metaphor of the nose. But I did like the use of ritual. I thought, you know, a lot of couples need to have ritual because it's their kind of private way they connect. And it allows them to get back to what I was saying about goddess teachings, that sense of sacred. And, you know, it's interesting because in the beginning of our show today, we were talking about kinky sex and bondage and discipline and people beating and flogging and whipping and bondage of handcuffs and erotic power play and role play. And what does all that mean? Sometimes that can be the sacred for people.
Mm.
And that's important to understand as we coach a client that sexuality has infinite dimensions. And so I think the world right now is opening, and there's a new film, as you know, coming out very soon. And
oh, yes.
It's going to be on what we call SPT, Surrogate Partner Therapy, called The Sessions. And it has Oscar buzz already around it. I don't know if you know that, but the trades again, Robert reads the trades. You know, we're already hearing from the Hollywood community there's Oscar-worthy performances, and this is groundbreaking and very emotionally moving material of a disabled man who secures the services of a trained, qualified, professional surrogate partner. And Helen Hunt plays her. And you know,
uh-huh.
I went to school with the real person. She was in my doctoral class.
Really?
The real Green.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
She's at our conferences.
Yeah.
Isn't
so
her name
cool.
Cohen? What's her first name?
Cheryl Cohen. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
saw
her last
a trailer
name.
Of it based
yeah.
on the real life, and I thought, yes. You know, it
yeah.
is a shame that Washington State, where I live now, does not allow surrogacy because
oh.
it can be very powerful. I know California allows it. I have in my
wow.
practice a 68-year-old virgin. He desperately needs a surrogate. It would make such a difference.
Aww.
He's paralyzed by so many, just more than shyness.
Wow.
It's so many social inadequacies. But he would do very, and he knows it, he would do very well with a surrogate, but he can't afford to go to California. We really need to update some of our laws.
Yes, we do.
So the surrogate, I think originally this film was called The Surrogate, and now it's called The Session. What is it called?
The Session.
The Session. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can hardly wait for it to come out.
I know. We're very excited about it.
And I really would like to have you back so that we can discuss that movie and the whole profession of. Do you use surrogates at all in your work?
Oh, yes. I actually work with female surrogates and a male surrogate. And the male surrogate is Israeli trained and one of the finest educators that I've met, very, very academically and clinically well prepared. His name is Shai Rotem. And he is actually coming on board as faculty.
Well, I met him.
You're wondering, how many people are on this faculty?
Yeah, no, it's good. No. You're getting a nice cross-section.
I met and spoke with him
at the male surrogate session, which was over a year ago in San Francisco.
Exactly.
He's from Israel, right?
He's from Israel. He's L.A.-based and the founder of the organization that certifies surrogate partners is Dr. Vina Blanchard, and it's IPSA. IPSA is the International Professional Surrogates Association that does training and then certifies and qualifies people who are then able to work with a client, which is always in a triadal relationship with a therapist or a coach, the client, and the surrogate. It is not a relationship that works on its own. It's all under the umbrella, in a sense, of the overcare of the sex therapist or the sex coach. So it's a beautiful, beautiful way of bringing in the adjunct care of someone who can use his or her body as well as mind and emotions to guide that client in a way that the talk-only person can't. It's really needed worldwide.
Years ago when I was in Palo Alto, I worked with a 30-year-old virgin male, and he had lots of social fears, of course, and grew up in a very religious family where nobody touched each other in any, you know, not even affectionately, and he was even adverse to hugging. So I worked, Bernie Zilbergeld was alive then, and I worked with his surrogate with this client, and it really turned out very well. The outcome was wonderful. This guy ended up eventually, there was a lot of build up to it, having intercourse with a surrogate, and then he went on to get his own girlfriend.
Yeah,
so it had a real happy ending.
Most of the clients that I've referred to surrogacy are males who don't have partners, who are sexually inexperienced and trauma or shame-based, and really need that other person. In a sense, it's almost like a growing up experience into sexual maturity as well. So it's a beautiful process. I really think it's very powerful and significant.
And so who knows? Maybe this new movie will get some conversation started about this topic, and we'll have you back. Now, before we have to end the program today, I do want you to talk about the trainings that you're doing. And we talked on the last time you were on this program, August 29th, about SAR. So, but just review that for our listeners, what SAR means, the transformations you've seen, and your upcoming, well, in 6 months or so, a little more than that, in Eastern Europe. So it's kind of an overview of SAR, just as a review.
Robert?
I was just going to say, we actually have a SAR coming up in January in Reno, and I believe we also have another one coming up here in the States as well in February. Is that not correct, Tommy?
You've got them switched, but it's close enough. We, in January, mid-January, what I do is I train professionals who come here for clinical sexology training, which is really, in a sense, how to be a good sex therapist or counselor. And I have a limited amount of seats that I offer because it's a very intense 40-hour training. And then what happens is we end it at 12:30 on a Friday, and then we take a break, and then that night we open the SAR. And the SAR, which is a requirement for anybody working in sexuality, is our sensitivity training in the field of the study of human sexual behavior and expression. And the next one is January 14th through 18th here in Los Angeles is the clinical sexology training, and I'm half full already, so anyone interested in that needs to get onto my website and send me an email, drpattybritton.com, right away, or the training site is actually theheissr.com, and all the information is there about all the trainings. And then we're going to Reno. We're going to be training at University of Nevada. We're going to be training in, I think, the social work department early February, but I believe it's closed to non-University of Nevada students. But then we're getting on an airplane and flying many hours to Eastern Europe. So, Robert, why don't you make a quick mention where we're going?
Yeah. Well, we're going to Prague, which is the capital of the Czech Republic, which is absolutely more glamorous and beautiful, if you can imagine, than Paris. And then we're going to be doing another training the following week in Poland, in Warsaw, which is another extraordinary place. And what we're working on is having this particular thing that's in the outskirts of Warsaw in this magic forest.
Oh.
A forest area that is just, it's a fairy tale. It's like a grim fairy tale.
Without the horror.
Yeah,
good. Exactly. Glad to hear that.
So we're quite excited. We're sending out all of these dates and everything now to students and people, you know, around the world. So I don't know, when we spoke earlier, we're really blessed. We literally have students now in 16 countries. We've got them in Russia, Poland, Germany, Belgium, Czech Republic, Australia, New Zealand, Canada. It's amazing. And the quality of these students is what's really remarkable. We're so proud of these people. And you can see their dedication in the work and their studies that they send to us. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's remarkable. We have a cohort in the UK, several people who are networked there as a hub, and of course we have people all over the United States as well. But we're really very international. There's such a crying need for depathologizing and non-medicalizing, helping people enhance their sexual experience. That's
There is such a need, and you, Dr. Patty Britton, and you, Dr. Robert Dunlap, are fulfilling that need magnificently.
Thank you.
We need to wind up this show a couple minutes before the top of the hour, so I want to thank you again for being here. And we'll have you back. We'll discuss the session and also maybe we can do this sometime before your Eastern Europe venture.
That would be a lot of fun.
Huh?
Yes. And put it on your calendar, Dr. Diana.
What?
Yeah.
Which part?
The magic forest part.
God, I'd love to.
Come and be our small group leader there.
We'll talk. Thank you again, Patty and Robert.
Thank you. It was our pleasure. Really fun.
It is always.
Always terrific.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll do it again soon. Everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
Cosa leggerai? Con che libro affascini il tuo cuore? E se ti perderai nel labirinto di un amaro autore? My boy, get it, got it.